Hi, this is George Durzi from Clarity Consulting, and in this module, I'll walk you through some of the best practices we learned while building this training kit content and building demos for Link Server 2010 and Exchange Server 2010. Let's focus on Exchange Server 2010 first, and let's talk about service accounts. As you saw when we're going through all our Exchange Web Services Managed API demos, we're calling AutoDiscover to connect to Exchange Web Services, and what I'd like to get across here is that you should use a particular service account for your application and call AutoDiscover using that account. That can be the identity of the Windows service that your application perhaps is running in, or if your application is running in IIS, the identity of the application pool. And calling AutoDiscover using this account ensures that you don't need to give permissions to all these other accounts or all these other users that are using your application. You would simply impersonate those users using that service account. We took a look at a simple example of impersonation in the Exchange Server module. And the ability there is, or the key there is, you have to create these in advance to give your service account the permissions to impersonate a particular set of accounts or a particular account. And from the Exchange Management shell, you do this by calling the new management role assignment PowerShell commandlet. You give the role a name, specify the application, the application impersonation role, tell it who the service account that's going to be impersonating these users is, and then specify this recipient organizational unit scope. This could be just an OU in Active Directory, so your service account can impersonate a whole set of users. And it's advisable to create these as needed by particular applications instead of giving one service account the ability to impersonate everybody in your organization. Let's talk about certificates when you're building applications that use the Exchange Web Services Managed API. Exchange uses these self-signed X509 certificates to authenticate the calls to EWS. There's no trust chain, and you'll see in the demos here that when we validate the certificate in the callback, we're always returning true. You typically, of course, will never want to do this in a production application, and you need to implement your own validation callback to make sure that the certificate is valid. So here's a simple example of that. You'd wire up the validation delegate. This is the service certificate validation callback. And in this callback, you're going to check for SSL policy errors, check for any errors in the cert chain, and apply any specific logic that you might have for your deployment. There's a great sample validation callback at this MSDN URL that you should check out and perhaps base your implementation on top of. So some lessons learned while we were building the demos for this training kit. Make sure you create the instance of Exchange Service with the appropriate version of Exchange. Exchange Service or the Exchange Web Services Managed API provides some backwards compatibility to Exchange 2007 SP1. So you can explicitly, in the constructor for Exchange Service, pass in the Exchange version. And this limits the functionality of the API based on what it knows is available in that particular version of Exchange. Another thing we learned is that sometimes the Exchange Web Services Managed API doesn't have complete parity with the proxy-based Exchange Web Services SDK. One of these places is when we're working with push notifications. We use the Managed API to subscribe for push notifications. However, to handle the responses, we needed to generate all the proxy classes from the service reference and work with the proxy classes instead. There was no way to do that there with the Managed API. All right, let's switch and focus on some best practices for developing applications for Link Server 2010. The first one I'd like to talk about is these asynchronous coding patterns. You saw these consistently throughout the demos, and the thing we should stress is that you should always call your UCMA methods asynchronously. Perhaps for a demo, you might chain the begin and end methods, but you should never do that in a production application, otherwise you'd be blocking the calling thread. You saw us using Lambda expressions for the callbacks. This is great and gives you nice blocks of code where you can execute logic, but also it hurts maintainability if you nest these too far. So use your best judgment when using lambdas for callback. Know when to go to a separate callback method or use the lambda itself. We talked a lot about exceptions in the UCMA 3.0 demos. When you call the begin operation of an asynchronous UCMA 3.0 method, you want to catch the invalid operation exception there. Not handling this exception can possibly affect the UCMA runtime, so be sure to handle that exception in the begin or when calling the begin operation of an asynchronous method from UCMA. And when you're calling the end operation to complete the asynchronous operation, catch the real-time exception. That's where you're going to see your real exception that's happening in your UCMA call. For example, if you're transferring a call and the recipient doesn't pick up, the real-time exception is what's going to catch that. How do we deploy UCMA applications so we can run them? There's a couple of ways to do that. One is in a Windows service. So you can deploy your or create a class library that fires up your collaboration platform and does all the logic to start your UCMA application, and then host that in a container Windows service. An important thing to note there, just from a debugging point of view, is that the working directory for Windows services is C Windows System 32. So when your service starts up, there's you can see this in the demos, there's just a line of code you can call to change its working directory to the path where the service is installed from. So if you're looking for any audio files that your workflow is using, it's not going to find them in C Windows System 32. So you need to point the service runtime to the real directory or to the right directory. Debugging Windows services can be a little tricky. For example, you can only attach a debugger to a running service, preventing you from debugging the startup logic. There's a couple of ways around this. You can launch another service to start your service and step into it that way. Some great resources out there for debugging Windows services that you should check out. My advice there is always work in the UCMA console application until you're ready to deploy, and then you can deploy your Windows service specific issues or debug those Windows service specific issues after deploying the service. One of the new features from an infrastructure point of view in Link Server 2010 is the ability to load balance your UCMA applications across multiple front-end servers. In OCS 2007 R2, you needed a hardware load balancer to do this, or if you implemented your own load balancing. In Link Server 2010, you're just going to assign a set of IP addresses to an FKDN pointing to your application, and the UCMA platform is then going to be responsible for distributing calls to the instances of your application. This gives you a really natural way to scale your UCMA application across multiple front ends. For example, if you're doing some media intensive work in your application and you can only handle X number of calls on a front end, you want to spread that load. Now, this important to point out is that this is only available in Enterprise Edition of Link Server. Default routing endpoints are also a new type of endpoint in Link Server 2010. And you know a default routing, or you know an endpoint is a default routing endpoint by checking the isDefaultRoutingEndpoint property. A default routing endpoint is used to route all calls to a particular endpoint, regardless of the application they were intended for. You would implement some custom logic there to make sure that they get routed eventually to the correct application. A great example of this is any calls coming into your call center, there's a catch-all endpoint to handle all those calls. And based on some context data in the call, you can implement your own logic there to pass the call along to the proper application endpoint. One thing to stress is that for an instance of collaboration platform, there can only be one default routing endpoint. When we were working with the Link API, specifically contextual collaboration, you saw that we had to deploy these contextual application components to the registry. This could be pretty burdensome for your administrators. But there's some good ways to get around that. You can package this in the setup of an application, or even deploy them at runtime with the object model, some particular attributes of the packages. You can also use group policy to deploy these changes throughout your organization. As we talked about in that specific module, the best way there is going to be to use install registration to get these settings into the registry, but then also use runtime registration to set more attributes when your application starts. So to summarize, in this module, we talked about some of the best practices that we learned as we were building this content, building demos for Exchange Web Services Managed API and for Link Server. On the Exchange side, we talked about using service accounts and setting the impersonation rights on certain blocks of users so that you didn't need your user's credentials for a particular application. We also talked about the importance of implementing a certificate validation callback and not just returning true as you see in the demos. On the Link Server side of things, We talked about the asynchronous coding pattern for UCMA methods and the importance of catching the proper exceptions when calling the begin operation and end operation of a UCMA method, and also explored some of the different ways to host a UCMA application, such as in a Windows service or in IIS. We also talked about using DNS load balancing to spread your UCMA application across multiple front ends, providing some scalability, and using default routing endpoints as a catch-all endpoint to handle all calls. And finally, we talked about some ways for deploying contextual application packages in the setup of an application or in group policy throughout your organization.